Hello, and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here. So let's do this.
Friends, welcome to another episode of Soul-Led Living. I am interviewing somebody today, and I know that the numbers tell me that people like when it's just me, the solo episodes, but I promise you this is a very important episode to listen to because it is about the energy of worthiness. And I brought on a good friend of mine, Christine Gutierrez, who I have known for many years, who just wrote a book, I Am Worthy. And the conversation is fire. Like, it truly is. I'm recording this right after the conversation because I was like, oh, no, I can't like let the podcast just go up. I need to tell you guys to listen. So please, I know we like Nikki and only Nikki and the predictions, but this is a very important conversation where Christine and I are both kind of just like jumping off of each other and talking about what it looks like to be worthy, when we're worthy, how we can manifest better, how we can bring things into our lives, what it really, like why we should be worthy, very practical tips on how to bring that worthiness into our lives. And everything stems from here. Like everything you want stems from how worthy you feel about having it or not. So please give this episode a listen, share it with your friends. I think it's an important one. And I hope you're having a beautiful day. So let's enjoy today's episode.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Soul-Led Living. We have a special guest today. I feel like I only bring on people I love for you guys, and this is just one other human that I love. So welcome to the show, Christine Gutierrez. Hey, Christine, welcome.
I'm so excited to be here.
We are going to talk about her new book, I Am Worthy, but in case you do not know her, let me quickly read her bio for you so you can get cozy and comfortable. And we're really going to talk about worthiness. And my intention for you is that by the end of the episode, you have a shift where you can not only intellectualize being worthy, but actually feeling it in your body. So that is our challenge for today's episode. So let us do the work and let us do the shift for you today. But let's start off with her bio. Christine Gutierrez is a Latina licensed psychotherapist, self-worth expert, and spiritual thought leader. Through her work, she offers group coaching, transformational retreats like her annual Diosa retreat in Puerto Rico, and soul-based business mentorship via the Madre Legacy Council. She is the author of the books I Am Diosa and I Am Worthy and the affirmation deck Wisdom de Alma, as well as the founder of the forthcoming app Diosa, a global community where like-hearted women gather to meet soul sisters. Gutierrez's work has been featured on The Kelly Clarkson Show, Latina Magazine, and the O Oprah Magazine, among many others, and the Nikki Novo Soul-Led Living podcast. So welcome to the show, Christine. We're so happy to have you.
So excited to be here.
So when I heard that Christine was writing this book and this title, I was like, oh, there is like no person better to write this book because I'll tell you a little bit. I think that's how we met, Christine. But we met at many moons ago at the We All Grow conference, correct? Yes. It's a Latinas blogger conference. And we were all speaking. So like some of us speakers were like hanging out. And I had met Christine like casually. And then the next day I went to her keynote talk. And I was like really blown away from her. I was like, wow. And like, you know, she was a few years younger than me. She grew up in New York. Like I could see myself in her. You know, she's Puerto Rican. I'm Cuban. We're like cousins, you know. And I remember like leaving her talk. And then I walked into like my little room. So I didn't get to speak on the stage that year. I was speaking in like a little classroom. And I remember being in the classroom and being like, damn, Nikki, you're like selling yourself short. Like, why are you in a classroom? Like, look at Christine. Like, she's on a stage. Like, you can do that too. So it was very expansive for me to meet Christine. And the next year, I actually found myself on the stage. So I was really so that's how, yeah. And then we just like became friends since then. She's been doing this work for as long as I have. So she's an OG in the space as well. So I'm just really happy that she is bringing this book to the world. I mean, obviously her heart is always like in Latinas, but I think it's a great book for anyone. And I was first going to ask you if you would mind telling me, like, why worthiness? Like, how did you come up with that conversation? Why do you want to have that conversation?
Yeah, well, first, I love that story. And I also feel like it's such a testament to how when one woman activates her worthiness, we shed the light for another woman to activate her worthiness. And the more that we dream and the bigger and the more expansive we allow our light to be, and in order to do that, we must believe we are worthy. We give permission subconsciously for other women to do the same. So it's very important that we all turn on that worthiness light within, not only for ourselves and for our children, for our partners, for our family, but for the world. And it's such a gift. And I always say that my work is important and the content of my work is important. And obviously I'm an expert and a licensed therapist and a spiritual mentor for over 16 years now. But also just the fact as an archetypal figure, as a Latina woman that has this voice and this experience, it also gives permission for other people to do the same, and that you do the same for so many others, Nikki, that you've been doing in your community and so on and so forth. We keep like spreading the light. So it all comes back to that piece of worthiness. And when I was meditating on my first book is I Am Diosa, and the subtitle of that book is A Journey to Healing Deep, Loving Yourself, and Coming Back Home to Soul. And my second book, when I was sitting with, what do I want to write? I always ask spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, what is the soul of the book? I believe everything has a soul. And very, very clearly, it said to me, the soul of the book is a revolutionary energy around the revolution of worthiness. This is a worthiness revolution, it said. And it was like, you are meant to write this book on worthiness and to remind people that it is a revolutionary act to claim their worth and to break out of the spell of unworthiness. And it was very specific in that this is a spell of unworthiness. And when we break out of the spell of unworthiness, we can actually remember that we are innately worthy, that we don't need to do anything outside of ourselves to be worthy. And really, all of my work comes back to that main principle of, how can we shed all of the childhood wounds, all of the wounds that we've experienced in our early adulthood or later adulthood, no matter what age you are? And how can we return to that remembrance that we are inherently worthy beyond everything? So it just made sense.
Are we inherently worthy because we are divine? Why are we inherently worthy?
Great question. Because the divine made us that way. And so we are all children of God, spirit. And on a spiritual level, because we are all, it's almost like we are these star beings, right? And my daughter's who's 4, her name is Mar de Luz. She always talks about how she came from the stars and before me, she had a cosmic mother and that's where the spirit world is. And she told me last night that which was really interesting. She said, you know, all the people who have died that are in spirit world are spirit leaders. She called them spirit leaders and that they lead in spirit realm now. And so for me, it reminds me that we are these pieces of the divine. And when we come to earth, sometimes we forget that. The first act of amnesia is that we are removed from the umbilical cord of spirit world. And so we forget, we're like, holy shit, I'm here on earth now. I have to do my earth mission. And some of us, many of us that are the light workers here that are doing the spiritual work, some of us remember more, right? And those are usually like the black sheep of the family, et cetera. But still, they're human and they have to go on their effed up journey to forgetting their worthiness, to then reclaiming their worthiness and going through these spiritual life lessons, right? So we are part of the divine. And because of that, we don't need to do anything, say anything, be anything, have a diploma, be in a relationship, have anything to be a part of that God energy. And so the first remembrance is that we are part of this bigger divine cosmic God energy. And until we do not fully claim that, we will not be able to do the next part of the work, which is then to do the human work, which is what are the realistic ways in which I've lost my worthiness? Maybe someone called me a name in childhood and I took on that inner script of feeling stupid since sixth grade. Maybe it was my parents that were my first bully that were putting me down and making me feel bad or being verbally abusive. I must claim back my worth from all the places where people, situations, systems, which I talk about in this book too, the political systems at play that remove our worthiness. I must revisit all those places and reclaim my worth from them.
So in my training, when I was, you know, moving into the work that I do, one of the healings that I learned to do was a soul retrieval. And this, you know, it's very woo-woo the way that I was like explained to it. And, you know, we do it in the Akashic Records and it's this like very energetic healing. But at the end of the day, like what I was understanding it was, is that, so you come, let's say, with like 100% energy, like your soul energy. And then you have this experience that, I don't know, your second grade boyfriend left you or something like that. And then a little piece of your soul, like a little piece of your energy goes missing. So now all of a sudden, like you're on this planet and you only have 90%. So it is like our job to, so in the soul retrieval, basically like you're energetically like calling those pieces back to yourself. But I think that if we even go to like the story of Adam and Eve, original sin, I think it goes deeper where like we lost pieces of our worthiness through our ancestors. So like if my mom was carrying me in her womb and she felt that, you know, she was less worthy than a man because she grew up with a bunch of brothers or in a very patriarchal society, like I'm already born, you know, unless I happen to not get that genetically, but I'm already born with that original sin. Like that's already in me. So I actually wish I could be born with 100% soul remembering or soul energy. But I'm actually, because I'm in a human body, and not only is it like the experiences that I've had, but also the experience of the ancestors that are still in my cells. So I have to go and revisit those things to reclaim them. And that may even be the reason why I'm here on this planet, is to actually like reclaim all of the worthiness that has been lost in the lineage.
Absolutely. And what happens is that the same way that we are able to say, okay, well, we were part of this cosmic, you know, star family, et cetera. We were part of this cosmic world, and we now need to remember that we are divine. In the same ways, in our ancestral lineage, we need to look at those themes that played out from preconception, like you said, in the womb, we're already digesting all of this information all the way until now, right? And making that timeline really of our life. And like you said, and one of the words that I wanted to correct, not only for you, but for the audience, one of the words that people often like use to minimize, they'll be like, oh, this is woo-woo. But actually the word woo-woo comes from a Chinese shaman. And the Chinese shamans were called woos, W-U. So people use the word woo-woo to degrade Chinese shamanism because, as we know, all of the historical information across most mystical traditions, which goes back to worthiness too, and like you mentioned in the Bible, like the removal of so many pieces of these stories, but they would put it down, right? So woo actually comes, is the Chinese shamans, and woo is actually an amazing magical thing, which we know that, right? And most of your audience knows that, but it's good to know so that when someone says, oh, that's woo, you're like, yeah, from the Chinese shamans, right? Is that what you meant? So that's one thing. Second,
a great example of reclaiming like that little piece, right?
So
just by saying it the way that I was saying it is like a dilution of myself, of like literally what I believe in, what I stand for. So I'm like, I just like simply diluted my worth in that moment. So I have an opportunity when I'm ready to reclaim it, and it'll come my way, and I'm ready to reclaim it. So that's why Christine came and explained that to me. So I just got a little piece of myself back.
That's it. Exactly that. Every single time that we have a moment where our magic is diluted or society takes a word or dilutes it from its meaning, same thing happened in the Bible when, you know, so many pieces of the Bible were removed, like the stories of the feminine voice, for example, the Gospel of Mary in the Bible. And when we do this, what happens is that we forget our worthiness because we as human beings on a subconscious level, right, now speaking as my therapist, Cap, we are functioning from our subconscious most of the time. And we need archetypes. We work within symbols. That's how our subconscious works. That's how the dream world works. Now, if we don't have these symbols, we find them from random places like TV and cartoons and all these things, right? Now, the Bible and all of these beautiful spiritual texts that were these beautiful channel texts, yes, they were from humans, but they were also channel texts with a lot of important information. Some of it was removed for fear, right? Now, in the subtitle, I Am Worthy, it says, break the spell of unworthiness, reclaim your divinity, and unearth your power. When we start to name things, that's a spell. That was a negative spell. Now I'm going to put a positive spell. That negative spell is that people talk shit about my spiritual work and they call it woo-woo in a negative way. Well, now I know the real information is that it was based on Chinese shamans that were doing exactly what Nikki does in this lifetime with helping people retrieve pieces of their soul, which is actually quite deep, mystical, powerful work that saves lives, right? And so in all types of shamanism, what we do is we're a bridge between worlds and we help people reclaim those parts. Now, why is worthiness so important? And what I love about the book and how I broke it down is that it has, each chapter is dedicated to you are worthy of worthiness, peace, spirit, rest, abundance, soul purpose, health. You are worthy of growth and flowing with the seasons. You are worthy of community. You are worthy of fun and pleasure. You are worthy of love. And you are worthy as you are. And in each chapter, we break down what are the ways you are not feeling worthy? What are some of the reasons for that? And how can we start moving towards this archetype of what I call the worthy self, right? So moving away from the wounded self and moving into that worthy self. And one of my favorite, like, simple things on page 26 of my book, this tool, there's a chart that says, where are my thoughts and actions leading me? And it's this arrow. And on one side of the arrow, it's pointing to the wounded self. And on the other side of the arrow is pointing to the worthy self. And it's a very simple tool and question that says, where are my thoughts and actions leading me? Is this leading me closer to my wounded self? Or is this leading me closer to my worthy self? And this is a tool that I use every single day, that I use with all of my clients. It's so practical. It's so actionable. When people ask me, you know, what's your favorite easy way to activate your work? I say, well, this tool, because it's a simple question that you can ask yourself. And if you don't know yet who that worthy self is, you can close your eyes and there's a guided meditation in the book and many different exercises. And you can start asking yourself, what does my worthy self act like? What does my worthy self sound like? What does my worthy self move like? What does my worthy self sound like in an argument? What does my worthy self sound like when I feel like I've done something wrong or I've made a mistake? What does my worthy self sound like when I want to advocate for myself and speak up? What does my worthy self sound like when I want to claim that I want to make more money? What does my worthy self sound like when I'm thinking about my dreams? Is she brave? Am I brave? Am I courageous? Am I confident? Am I rooted? What does my worthy self feel like? Right? What is my worthy self dressed like?
Kristen, I love that example. It's very practical. And the reason I love it is because I always say when we're talking about intuition and when we're talking about like hearing your soul self, like, you know, people are dying to be able to connect with their soul selves and, you know, really access their intuition. But a lot of the times that intuition that's trying to come through is being filtered by these like unworthiness filters, basically. So typically I can tell that the information's like coming through for somebody, but I need to give them a filter where they can like really get the truth of it, because intuition is like coming through all our senses, but then our cute little minds, which is so support, you know, so helpful in many ways, but it does like filter it through our own experiences and through how we feel about ourselves. So even if like you're trying to get an answer from the divine or the universe, however you're connecting, you can say like, you know, this is my question. How would I understand the answer to this question if I was in my worthiness? Like if I was the worthy woman, if I was feeling worthy, what would be the response here? And you're going to get a much stronger soul aligned answer than if you kind of just like left it up to your own filters, which you don't even really know that what they are because they're in your subconscious a lot of the times. And unless you're, you know, doing the deep work, but you can bypass some of that subconscious stuff for a little bit just by like a simple putting yourself, you know, through the worthiness filter. So I love that example.
And I love the use of the word filter, because that's exactly it. And Mm-hmm. When we assume the energy of this is what worthiness feels like and looks like, and even though I might not feel that way in this moment, I will temporarily assume the archetypal energy of worthiness to feel into what would that archetypal energy choose for me. Yes. And if I am in my worthy self, right, God's spirit, show me what I would move like and how I would speak like. And there's so many moments in our life where we're at a crossroads and we need to make a leap of faith, but there are so many of those fear and worries and doubts, and they're so intertwined that it can get clouded and messy. And so when you use this worthiness as an archetype or as a filter, as you called it, you are able to then see clearly, you're able to choose clearly, and you're able to call in that energy before you go into that situation and really say and close your eyes and place your hands in your body, I choose to speak from my worthy self. I choose to handle this in my most aligned worthy self. And what would my worthy self feel like and what would my worthy self do here? And what happens is it's miraculous, really, because it shifts you into a whole nother dimension where you start really feeling closer and building an intimate relationship with your worthy self. And the more you do this, the more your muscles stronger and you start to be like, okay, I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to take this leap of faith. I'm going to have that conversation because my worthy self doesn't settle. Your worthy self has very high standards. Your worthy self has the highest, most amazing regal standards. It's impressive. Sometimes I'm even like in awe of like, oh, wow. Like, you know, like these moments where we, like we were talking about earlier, one word or one way to be like, oh, you know, I do this thing, but we're like putting like a dimmer.
You're diluting it. Yeah.
Diluting it. Mm-hmm. And instead we're like, no, my worthy self is sensor stage energy. My worthy self knows and shines so bright. My worthy self is like, yes and more, please. My worthy self has an insatiable desire that is ever flowing and limitless. But if I do not go into that place of like, what would my worthy self feel here or do here? It is very easy for us
totally
to maybe do a, you know, a 20% instead of like a 90% that we want to do.
Because the thing is, imagine the body in itself is a filter. The human body is filtering the light of your spirit, of your soul. Your soul is just light. It is just energy. And it's being filtered through something that is more physical. But even the human body is not physical. It's just a bunch of cells very close to each other that makes it look physical. So we are in a vehicle that is like filtering the truth of your soul. But then when you say, okay, how would I handle this as my worthy self? Like, what would be the answer if I was in my worthy self? You are actually changing the energy within the body as well. So you're like shifting that filter altogether. And I would imagine if you do it long enough, if I did that for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, then I have gone ahead and like changed the form of the body. And then it becomes a little bit more default rather than having to, you know, actually like think about it and filter it, because all of a sudden I've created my body to be the filter itself.
Absolutely. And now you're getting me into my, you know, my cosmic Christine mode, right? Which is that, for example, when you think about the body that way, Nikki, like you described it, what happens with fears is your body becomes more dense. What happens when you move in this energetic realm where literally you can quantum leap your reality, go from one place where you're absolutely stuck and everything's broken down to, oh my God, my life is amazing, I'm living my wildest dreams, is you become lighter. Physically, you become lighter. You're letting go. You're shedding all of the fears and you're moving into the space of lightness. And that frequency travels faster, right? So the lighter you are, the more free you are to like leap to your next level, so to speak. And even temporarily assuming that energy allows you to leap to that next level. I like to see life like a video game, and it's like, okay, I get to go to the next level of my destiny. And the next level of my destiny sometimes requires that we do the heavy lifting. You look at all the things, you release all the shackles, the pain, the armor, the illusions, and you walk through those seven gates. You know, spiritually, there's oftentimes seven gates that you have to walk through. And each gate requires that you leave behind something, your pride, your ego, you know, maybe it's your fears, maybe it's your attachment, maybe it's a person, that you know ain't good for your worthy self, right? Maybe it's a job. And then at the end of the seven gates, you're so vulnerable, you're naked. You may be fearful, but you know that there's no turning back and that now you are completely in alignment with your soul self, with your worthy self, and you're ready for this new life. But in order to do that, you must be willing to energetically die from all the things that are part of that unworthiness lie and really step into the worthiness truth. And what happens is that, and this is why I love this work so much, because it really is life-saving and life-changing, is that little by little, these small action steps and these big leaps add up. And you are then living more in alignment with who God wants you to be, with who the great divine wants you to be. All of a sudden, it's like there's less of a split between the two lives, and you are so on track. It's like a target. And you're like, holy shit, I'm walking with my soul as my skin. I'm walking with my worthiness as my skin. And I may, you know, falter because I'm a human and go here and there, but I pivot and I come back so much faster. And the beautiful thing about this work is that it's never too late to start. If you're alive, welcome. Do the work, because it's always going to give you blessings. It's always going to give you gifts. You're going to love yourself and respect yourself so much more. And that love and self-respect and self-worth is going to magnetize all of the blessings to your life. It's going to be like the signals are going to be bing, 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 bing. And the universe responds to that energy. It responds to it. And you don't have to be perfect to do it. And I talk about this in the book. This is not about perfection. This is about honesty. You know, when you are feeling not worthy, it doesn't mean you're bad. It doesn't mean you shame yourself. On the contrary, it means that you honor that you are human, because you are worthy of feeling sad, of feeling broken. You are worthy of your human experience. You are worthy of grief. You are worthy of being in the winter of your life and whatever season you are in, but to not make a home in the place of darkness. You allow it to teach you its medicine, but then you allow yourself to move to the next season. You do not stay stuck in one season. You allow yourself to move through the seasons.
Christine, you kind of were moving into the conversation I wanted to ask, which is perfect. But have you seen a client, somebody who's attended the retreats, who has like even just claimed a little bit of the worthiness? And do you see them attracting something different? Like, what is your, you said it a little bit, but I just want to kind of like really spell it out. What is your belief about like, okay, like if I can embody my worthiness, like how does my reality shift, or is my reality shifting? Like, what's happening?
Well, first of all, your reality shifts in the most important way internally, right? Because that is our first home, our thoughts, our feelings, our energy, our body. So the first gift is the way you feel. And any shift in that energy and that belief system is a miracle and is a blessing and is the first shift in reality.
Next, right. So basically like I may feel safe, but that doesn't mean I have consistent money or something like that. And you know, but the first sign is that like I'm all of a sudden like not caring so much.
Exactly. So let's say you're talking about money or something, right? Or let's say you're talking about and you're like, okay, I want to work on my worthiness to receive money, right? And all of a sudden you start doing these affirmations, and we have a chapter on soul purpose and abundance in the book as well. So you can do the work with the book on this very topic, which is so important to me. And let's say you start doing the affirmations. You start, I am worthy of allowing myself to get paid to do the good things that I want to do in the world. I am worthy of abundance coming in many forms. And all of a sudden you start feeling lighter and you start feeling the possibility of expansion. It's not there yet, but you start feeling as though it already is happening in your body. This is the miracle. You know why? Because there is no such thing as time, past, future, present. It's all happening simultaneously. The moment you can feel that in your body, now you've opened the portal into a new dimension. All of a sudden, it's like all of the cells of the universe are like, bing, 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 bing. She's changing. We want to assist her. And then they come running to your assistance. And all of a sudden, things start rearranging. Some rearrangements take more time because there's denser matter to move through. And some are faster. And we are not in charge fully of how fast or not, we can just say what is the best next action step to take, both energetically and in action, because we need both. You know, like that African proverb that says, pray but move your feet, right? So pray but move your feet. And so then next, the next thing that happens is you start making those steps. Maybe you start writing down a notebook. I make, you know, $10, $20, $50, $100,000 a month, right? Doing what I love in the world in soul-aligned ways. And you write it down. Well, that's the second step in this manifestation process, because now it's coming from thought to form in written. And that is an act of manifestation. And then you share it with one trusted person who has big dreams just like you. Now you've added energy to that manifestation. And now you start putting your art out there in the world. And you start posting online and you start leading workshops. All of a sudden, you're putting more energy to that visualization. And before you know it, you get, bing, bing, your first payment for, you know, this offering that you've been dying to do. And you keep magnetizing it. And so eventually, the external reality catches up and everything changes. Everything changes.
Because I love that explanation. Thank you. And I think it's because it's the law of resonance, right? Like the law of resonance says, I do not attract what I want. I attract what I am. So if I am worthy, I always use in the podcast, Christine and I talk a lot about like Barbie dream house. Like if you are the teacher Barbie, then your reality is going to be the teacher Barbie reality. So if I am the I am worthy Barbie, then like my reality is going to be of the I'm worthy Barbie. That's just like how it's like you just can't be and then have the old. So you have to like be when you're already in the being. So therefore like the reality has to match the being.
Absolutely.
So that's the beauty of bringing this in. Okay. Now I lost train of thought of my question. Hold on.
Well, I'll say something to that. The identity thing. I think that, you know, when we talk about identity, right? Like that's what I hear when you talk about the Barbie example. And I love in the Barbie movie where they had to do like this spell breaking as well. And it's very, very aligned with the I am worthy belief that we break the spell of unworthiness, but we also putting a new spell, right? So at the end of every chapter, it says unworthy lies. And then it said worthiness truths. And the worthiness truths are your new spell that you're going to place. Because it is like brainwashing ourselves. It's like, I want to brainwash myself with all the good things. I'm going to brainwash myself with all the positive things and all the good things. And this doesn't mean I'm going to bypass things and not go through the thing, the shadows and the work that I need to do. But it means that I'm going to choose to think and feel things that are actually going to give me what I want. I'm not going to make a home in the shadows. I'm going to work through and integrate the shadows and walk with my shadow, because that's what we do. That, and that's what I teach, right, is that we want to go to the depth. Right? Because life is lifing and there's going to be difficult things that happen, deaths and having to be caretakers of elder people and losing loved ones and losing your job and money. And there's so many hardships that happen in life, right? We cannot escape them, but we can ride them with faith, with grace, with more appreciation and understanding, with asking for community help, right? And again, this book talks about, this is not just about when you're happy. Worthiness work also is when you are down and out and you need community. I am worthy of community. I am worthy of asking for help. I'm worthy of being a human, right? And so our identity is something that we get to play with. And if an identity isn't working for you anymore, then give yourself permission to let that identity die and use another identity that allows you to really honor, you know, a happier version of reality for you. Right? A happier.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you are using mantras like this to bypass, you find yourself in a place where you're accidentally bypassing, it's only because you're scared to go to the depths. Because the truth is, in order for me to align with I am worthy, shit's going to hit the fan. Everything that is within me that is not in alignment with I am worthy is going to come to the surface.
That's right.
You know, I've shared the story a million times, but, you know, 5 years before my husband and I bought 30 acres of land, we said to ourselves, like, we want to be land owners. Like, we are worthy of land. Those 5 years were like the worst 5 years. I forgot about the freaking land because it was so difficult. But what was happening was that, like, my worthiness, like the person who felt worthy enough to have these 30 acres. There was a lot of things within her relationship, within her family that were acting out unworthiness. Mm-hmm. So all of that had to be cleaned up. So like if shit's not hitting the fan, then you're doing it wrong. You know what I mean? Like if crazy things, like I don't want to say that it should be hard. I don't want to put that out there, but I'm just saying that like sometimes, you know, I always say like when those weird things happen, it's like amazing. Your manifestation is working.
Yeah, the initiation has begun. I tell people when something difficult happens, be like, thank you for this initiation. I'm ready to
speak. And what did I do to call this upon myself? Like, it's kind of like, oh, damn it. I wished upon that star. And when I wished upon that star, this has to be cleaned out.
Yeah,
like, it just has to.
Me writing this book, right? At this time of writing this book, and Nikki's my friend, so I'm going to be more personal on this podcast. When I wrote this book, I was still breastfeeding my daughter. I breastfed her for 3.5 years. And I was caretaking at the time my ex-husband, who is the daughter of my father, the father of my daughter, right? And he had an illness, like a neurological condition. And I was caretaking him and her. And I was very grateful that I was able to, but we had to ask for help from our community. It was really, really draining. I was like so tired. I was like burnt out because I was at home. I had help, but I was the kind of mom that I had help. But really, like the nanny was there for me to like cook and clean up, but I like wanted her within my sight at all times anyway. So it really wasn't like I had all the time in the world kind of thing. And I remember thinking when I wrote this book, oh, anything that doesn't feel worthy is going to come up here. And as I ended the writing of the book, I realized that I was like, you know what? I've always worked on and I've always been very transparent about the love aspect of my life. As a Scorpio, the underworld, just that's where my lessons came in. Some people have lessons more money and worthiness, and some people have a mix of a few, but there's usually some dominant area of our life where we have deeper lessons to work through. And I was like, you know what? I am the kind of person, I'm like a unicorn. Like I like magic. Like I like unrealistic kinds of magic. And I'm 39, I'm going to be 40 in November 2025, right? So if you're listening to this in the future, 2025, 2040, this is a big year. And it's like the year where I was like, you know, the F it, right? Like I ran out of fucks to give. And I'm like, I really want to own that. I'm a magical human. My Instagram name is Cosmic Christine. I like cosmic things. I like magical things. And I want a love that even though it was a certain kind of magic, and for most people, it represented so many healthier things than most people have, right? And this is the same thing in business, where I was like, well, I could be a regular therapist and have a magical, you know, career, and most people think that's wonderful. But I don't care what most people think. I care what me, what I, Christine Gutierrez, what my soul thinks, right? And I was feeling like I want more. And there was a guilt in that, like, I'm not getting cheated on. This is not a bad relationship. Like, no relationship's perfect. Like, why not? And I was like, I want magic. And I remember thinking that our love could blossom more as just co-parents. And that God gave me a visual. I get visuals a lot. And I got like a little glimpse. And it was of my daughter seeing me in the kitchen with someone who was madly in love with me. And we were kissing. And she goes, ill love the rose, but like happy. And I remember feeling like it's that romantic, like notebook kind of love, but Latino style. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. And I held on to that vision. And I didn't know how it was going to happen. And in the process of this book, we had a beautiful separation. It had ups and downs, but it ended with the most like amazing ending, which is like peace, love, conscious co-parenting. You know, we hang out, we go to the movies with our daughter, like, and I met the love of my life, who is my king, not just my partner, but my romantic equal, who my daughter looks at and she goes, you and Christian have romance love. You and Papa have friendship love. And she knows it like I know it. And for me, I got tested. And I feel like sometimes we stop the test. Like we think we're doing good. And we're like, well, I got a 90%. But some of you that are listening might be people that have wild desires. And sometimes people with wild desires have a lot of shame for having such big dreams, for wanting so much. Like, because we're like, wow, I'm so much better than most. Why don't I just stop? But you are not allowed to cap the desire that spirit placed in you. If spirit placed those desires in you, that is because you are meant to light up the world with that. And I had to give myself permission to believe that I was worthy of reinventing myself again and allowing myself to own that desire, even though things were good or okay and could have been okay. I wanted even more. And this is the same thing that happened with my job when I was a therapist and I said, I want to start my own soul business. And people will judge you. A lot of people will judge oftentimes when you are that kind of person. And that's why it's important to be around other people that have these wild worthiness dreams so that you can know that you're not alone. And it is humbling and so rewarding to live this way. And it takes a lot of courage. You have to be a very courageous person to live the soul-led way and to live with that worthiness archetype like on blast.
I love that story. And I think that, you know, especially when it comes to relationships, I get asked that question all the time. Should I stay or should I go? And I always say, like, that's not your decision to make. Like, you hold the highest vision. I did the same thing, Christine, and you know that my story just turned out different. I was like, I'm wildly in love. My husband is fit. My partner's fit, like all these kind of things. And my husband just became that. Where in your case, like, it was like the nature, which, you know, the nature of the relationship was bringing you in another direction. So I didn't make the decision to like make my husband into what he is. I set the intention from the most worthy part, like the most audacious part of me, that like perhaps I deserve to have all those things. And it is not my job to know exactly like how I get to that. I'm not going to get in the way of it. I'm not going to micromanage it. And my husband felt that energy and he's like, shit, I gotta jump on this train. Like, I gotta catch up to this train.
You set the worthiness standard, right? Like, here's the deal. I started, you know, it's like, you know, us witchy women, we start writing our new vision list. We're like, well, either you're gonna be it or spirit is gonna bring it in another package.
Yeah. But having the audacity to believe that you're worthy of that like God's not going to strike you down with a, you know, a thunderbolt or whatever because you want more. And I think like when we don't want more, we are in a very unnatural state. Absolutely. Because if you think about it, the divine universe is constantly expanding. It always wants more. Like, it has everything and it wants more. It's always expanding. It's never ending. So I always say it's like inconvenient to want more. It's inconvenient to be in touch with your desires, but it would be unnatural otherwise.
Yeah, and you say stagnant. You know, I love Dr. Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who wrote Women Who Run With the Wolves, and I had the privilege and pleasure to work with her in person as my mentor. And I learned so much from her. And one of the things she talks about is that so many people are walking around spiritually dead. Like, you know, bones with skin dripping and no soul. And that only happens when we don't dare to desire more or want more. And I have seen my life, my client's life, that, like you said, it can be inconvenient to freaking pull your life apart and to question things and, you know, to not live in a delusional state in the negative way where you're like, you know, well, I'm not going to face this. I'm going to just put it under the rug, right? Like, sometimes it can be temporarily easier to lie to yourself, but you will always feel that knot in your stomach if you are ignoring it. And I have made the commitment in this lifetime to be one with my spirit and to walk more and more and more in integrity with the most wild, audacious desires of my heart in every area of my life. And even with the vision of my conscious co-parenting, I had this wild vision that, you know, that my ex or my daughter's father and my future, you know, husband were going to be hanging out together in a barbecue, going, you know, laughing together with my daughter. And then my daughter was going to have two versions of this masculine energy that were just more love. And I got exactly that. And I held that standard. And I think that what this book gives you permission to do is to do the deep work that we both have done, that so many of us are doing, to not stop. And to raise the standard so that God, spirit can rearrange things. You don't know exactly how it's going to look. But if you know that your worthiness, you know, thermometer is set here at 100%, that becomes your compass. And then you can clearly decipher, okay, no, like, this is the vision and I'm not willing to settle. And the more you do that, the more you become in love and the more you can trust yourself, right? And that is like the biggest piece of peace that you can feel in your life, is that you trust yourself, that you can protect yourself, that you can count on yourself, that you can be devoted to your desires. And there's a safety in knowing that. And then it allows you to open up to the right people, you know? And then when the time comes in romantic areas, then you can let go and be protected and be loved because you're already doing it for yourself. So you just have a soft place to land. And I'm really excited because I've seen now, you know, I went to New York and I did my book event there. And it was so amazing to see all these diosas. But the woman that introduced me, her name is Miguelina of Brujas of Brooklyn. And she was my client. She had found me Googling how to break free from a toxic relationship. And we did the work. She went to the diosa retreat. And I remember one time she was talking about her ex like over and over again, like this guy. I was like, aren't you tired of talking about him? You moved on already. Like, aren't you tired of it? And she was like, holy shit. Like, no one called me out like that. And she was like, I'm tired of it. From that day on, she stopped. She claimed it. She moved on. She did the inner work. She was celibate. She did all the things to heal herself. She started attracting healthy men and she found her partner. The next day after the book event in New York, she was getting married. She didn't know it at the time when she said yes to the love of her life, who's this kind, loving, devoted king who loves and shares her. It was just magic.
I know. Benny, my husband and I, we recently, kind of renegotiated our marriage. And one of the things that we both looked at each other, we're like, we're tired. We were, like, talking about some stuff in the past. I was even talking about, like, my parents, my mom. And I was like, I'm so tired of that conversation. Like, we're just tired of that conversation and really just, like, it can't go with your new identity. I love that. And then the new stuff comes into her life. Okay. My last question for you, Christine, let's see if you can like figure out this puzzle. So let's say I'm a big dreamer. I got this. I believe in I'm worthiness. I'm doing the work. I'm reading the book, all that stuff. And I've decided I, Nikki Novo, am worthy of a million followers on, I don't know, my Instagram. Like, so I believe I'm worthy of that, but it does, like, my reality doesn't change. And then, because the thing is, then I'm like, then my practical mind will get in the way sometimes and be like, well, because I'm a big believer in like getting great at the things that you do, yes, especially as an artist. I'm like, you know, get great as a writer, get yes, great as an intuitive, great as a podcaster. I don't jump over that. Like, so if I say like I'm worthy of, I don't know, a million whatever downloads on my podcast, let's say, but maybe there's some truth that like I am not like good at that craft yet. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying? Like how does that practical and like that belief in like my worthiness, like I deserve to have, like I should have a big, I should be making $1 million a year or whatever. Like I'm worthy of that.
Well, there's a difference between like worthiness and like entitledness, right? So the worthiness is like, I believe that I'm worthy of that. And I'm also humble to God's plan. So for example, there's like this simultaneous, like, energy that you hold in like the what's seemingly at its opposites, right? So like in manifestation, you have your eye on the prize, but you have to completely let go. So it sounds like it's opposites, but it's actually how the universe works. And it's the same thing with when we are claiming bigger things beyond our reality, we can say things like, for example, this is a real thing. Like, I have made millions in my business over the course of my business, but I want to make millions a year, right? Like that's right. Period. That's what I want. And I want more Latina women and women in general making millions doing what they love as spiritual women. Now, there is a patience of God's timing, because you plant the seed and you can water it and give it love, but we don't know because there is a mystery to life. So surrendering to the mystery. Also, my greatest vision is impact. I'm going to focus on the impact that I want to make in the world. And every person is a universe. And I always say every person's a universe. Whatever I focus on magnetizes. And maybe God has it that you're going to magnetize and you're going to have one reel that goes viral. And that one reel is going to hit over millions of people, right? And every person is soul. Maybe you are going to impact one very special soul who has a podcast that has millions. So now your work has impacted that leader that has viewed millions, and it's really your seed that was implanted in her heart that now reaches the world in different ways. The form might change and the timing might change, but the importance is to stay believing in whatever energy you want and not being fully attached to when or how it happens. Staying in the present moment of your dharma, of your purpose. How can I give my all? So I am a person that, like you, I have very big desires. But I try not to limit it to my numbers, but I do put numbers, right? I do say this number and I want this number. But I'm more interested in the impact and the energy because I know that that will eventually add up, right? And that's when I bring it to God. That's when I bring it to spirit. And I say, I want to make bigger impact. Show me how my spirit is meant to make impact. You know, I've been able to get book deals with a very relatively smaller following. So I also feel like I have a very unique, like, I don't know, God uses us all differently. Some people are meant to blow up right away. They get found in the street. They're playing guitar. They become Justin Bieber, right? Some people are like quiet superstars that impact the lives of many big leaders. And you're like a quiet superstar in the background. And like, they just go blow up, but you're the one that they go to. You know, I've had like a micro movement where I have like a smaller following, but massive impact. And then I get featured on these very big platforms and these very big things come to me. But it's not like I have 100,000 followers. I have a smaller 32,000. It's not that much. So I just trust. And I think that there's that element of trust where it's like, God, lead me to my dharma and lead me to impact more and keep me aligned with making the steps and the education and the tools that I need to figure out how can I reach more people? How can I get more creative? How can I do more reels and more content that is in alignment with my soul? And just have fun. I think having fun is so important. And trusting that spirit will give you everything you need. When your heart's in the right place, everything will align.
Yeah, I think also it's like, let's say wanting to make a few million a year, it's important to give it a number. We live in a human,
that's right,
in a human world. But then I think then the next thing that will be asked of us is like, well, what is the energy of making $3 million a year and then existing in that energy? And like you were saying, like you said earlier in the episode that we were that you're like you're feeling it first. Yeah. So like a lot of the times we think we're knowing it, like I'm knowing I want 3 million. I know it. But I don't feel that I have 3 million.
That's right. And then making those action steps. How do I reverse engineer this number and what kind of programs do I want to do? And so it does take legwork. Pray but move your feet, like the African proverb says. And also, I really do think there's a mystery to everyone's life. And there is, like, life would be so boring if we knew everything. So let God surprise you. Let God surprise you and be open to surprises. Surprise me. Surprise me in my dharma. Surprise me in my purpose. Surprise me that when I'm doing my work in the world, you surprise me in a way that I least expected. Surprise me in my love life. Surprise me in all the best ways so that we keep open to that, like, that joyful energy and that we don't get discouraged when things are not happening. The worst thing you want to do is get discouraged when things are not happening. Be grateful, stay on track, you know, focus on that one person you're helping. One person is a whole universe and the rest will line up. And yes, get practical. Yes, write down. Yes, do research. Yes, get smarter in what you need to do. Those things are all true. But have fun while you do it and don't just do it for the result. Enjoy the process.
Totally. Totally, yeah. Of course. Like, and to, you know, and I think just ending the episode with, I think the final goal is to know I am worthy beyond having the 3 million. I am still worthy if I don't have 100 followers online, like, to be able to exist, like that may very well, unfortunately, be the path, like to be worthy even without any of that.
Yes. And that's the balance, right? Is to be able to say, I can want this thing, but I'm still worthy without it. That you get the key. This is the perfect way to end, right? So you get to hold the vision of everything you want in your life, but usually the way it happens is that you know that your peace, your worthiness, going back to that first thing, is so deeply inherent that you don't need those things. I didn't need the book.
It would be fun to have it. It's fun. It's a game. And that's why you were saying, like, you have to have fun in the process because the things we get are just like the fun part of the game.
That's it.
But the worthiness.
The worthiness is the rock. That's the glue. And everything else that gets to stick based on that inner worth. So I pray that all of you take the time to break free from the spells of unworthiness and code yourself with the code of worthiness so that you may live in alignment with your most worthy soul self, that you may choose the choices and the thoughts and the behaviors that align with your worthy self, and that you know deep in your bones that you are worthy no matter what.
I love it, Christine. And let's just see what finds out. Well, I mean, let's just see what happens. Like, if you're in your worthiness, like, what happens? Like,
just magical.
Being curious to see, like, what happens. So, you guys, check out this book. It is such a good one because it is Christine. It is both practical but also spiritual.
That's right.
She's a therapist, so you know me, I'm always like, please do not spiritual bypass just because I talk about spirituality. I go to therapy. I do very heavy therapy. And that's why I love your work and support everything that you do. You can get this anywhere where books are sold, and you're supporting a Latina woman, which I'm always passionate about. So check it out. Thank you for being on the show, Christine. I love you so much.
Love you.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time, love you much.